Good morning, Masechet Baba Metzia Daf Tet Vav, and we're starting at the bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Bet. We're at the Toshma, the last part. We're slowly discussing Shmuel, right, with regards to this whole question of a gazlan, or if you sold land, it turns out it didn't belong to you. Yeah, there was a claim against you, and the creditor or the original owner took the land back. So what would be the story? So we had a case over here. We asked a brighter, we said to Avraham Nachman, "Ein motzi nachilat peirot lo shevach karkot." You can't claim land if it's for peirot or shevach karkot. We try to use it there for shevach karkot, but we proved there that shevach karkot you couldn't claim from encumbered land, from mortgage land, but unencumbered land you could. There was a question over here. Toshma nachilat peirot keitzad. So let's dedicate the shir dinushmat when it died in this war, soldiers and the civilians. Tzu'im, Chatufim mentioned, Daniel, Shimon ben Sharon, everybody else, we should be Matzliach, like we said, Mishlichas Adar, Marvin Besimcha, should be a good month, everybody. So this should be broadcast from Jerusalem, last minute changes in my schedule, but we see in the bright, like the Tosh, Achilat Parod and Ketzad. How would it work, this case of Achilat Parod, when we say we've got to... That taking the food, yeah, in terms of using the food, the fruit of the fruit, etc. Rashi Gazal Salim Chaveru, if a person stole a field from his friend, who yotzei mitachet yado, and then as it is, he sells it, right? And now, he stole the field, sure, now gets taken back from him, the meantime has been sold. So Kishu Gove da Keren, Minechasim Shubadim, so the guy who sold the field now, who originally bought the field, sorry, he's now got to claim compensation for the field that he paid. It wasn't a stolen field. So the capital portion of the field that he paid for, so that no problem, he can claim nechasim shubadi. Upeirot gove minechasim b'nechari. But the fruits, right, that he had on the field, those he could only claim from freehold land. Now the question is, how does this work? Because if it's like we said, and we're speaking about a gazlan, and the gazlan himself has to pay. So gazlan iman gavi, who's the gazlan claiming from? Remember we had this question we had the other day. We said it can't be a gazlan. Our question was with regard to Shmuel and a gazlan. She says gazlan iman gavi. And a laugh going to gazlan says mechaz. The question is no. What we're speaking about here in the brighter? A guy stole a field. It's not the gazlan who's now claiming compensation because the original owners took the field back. It's a gazlan stole the field. Umacha and sold the field to somebody. Vishbicha. And now this guy improved the field. Okay, so he was the one. If you look at the third last line of Rashi, Sade Shegazu Sade Mechav Machel Achav Vishbiach. V'naseh Peirot Gemurin, and the fruits were fully ripened. V'nigzal Lokchaim Peirotei. Now the guy who the field was stolen from, he's the one who comes back. So it was a gazan who stole the field. The gazan sells the field to somebody else. This guy, in the meantime, the buyer works the field, prepares the place, farms it for a whole year. And now his crop's bumper crop. And now the original owner arrives and comes and wants his field back. Okay, that's the case. And he takes the whole field. So now what happens is, this is the case. All right, he says, this is the case, Vishbicha. So now, right? Ve'enu noten ele yitzia dekamar arai ashevach uketani delokeach chozer v'goi migazim min ha'machorin. So we'll see that basically there's a case over here that the gazan now has to pay, but the guy's taken the whole field. The original owner now has got his field back with payrot, the whole split. We're going to see that in a moment. So that's what he says over here. Gove edakir min ha'chasim meshubadim u'payrot gove min ha'chasim min ha'chorin. So the keren, the original owner, comes from the gazlan, from the chasim shubadim, and the peirot from the chuzah. Okay, so the Gemara is going to discuss this in a moment. We'll see in a moment a little bit more detail. So the Gemara asks a question, Yehi Chidami. Right, how can this... Yeah.
Didn't we once learn that you can't steal a field?
I mentioned that yesterday. Remember I said that yesterday. Even though you can't really steal the field, what we're speaking about over here is that the guy stuck a gun at the guy's head, removed him from the field, and then I said maybe it took time, maybe the government changed, and now he's got it was a corrupt government, and now they're helping him get his field back, or maybe it was strong arm tactics in the area, and now the original owners managed to find guys to help him support him get his field back. You're right, as far as stealing is concerned, you can never ever not, the field's always yours. But tachlis, for whatever purposes, they managed to push him off his field, and sold, and somebody else came and farmed it, and now he's getting it back. The getting back is the easy part because it was always his. So that, I think that's what we meant when we say you can't steal the land. But you can put a gun in the guy's head and say, I'm warning you, come within 10 minutes, I'm going to kill you. And the guy's scared and he stays away for a year and spends a whole year trying to get back his field. In the meantime, the guzzler went and sold it to somebody else. I think I actually, but you're right. That's worth mentioning again. Okay. So, Shigaz Mechav Malak Perot. So, the Gemara says, Hechi Dami. Ilayma Kediktani. So, Gazlan, in mind, Gabi, if it's a Gazlan, who's he claiming from? It allowed Kagon, Shigaz Mechavero, Umachel Acher Vishpich. It must be somebody else. So, now look here. Now, if you remember, this over here, this is still the end of the suit. If you go up about to the bottom third of the Amud, we had the 80 Vay Ravel Rav Nachman. Ein motzin lachilot peirot. Remember? Because a few lines up was Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Ma'ot yesh lo shevach ein lo. Afa pi she piresh lo ita shevach. Ma'ata mekevin the karka ein lo scham atavim. We said the guy here who bought land which he never actually ever owned, said Rav Nachman, if you're going to now come and pay him back compensation for his shevach, it was never really his land to begin with. It turns out, bottom line, at the best, you managed to get a loan for a bit of time because it wasn't your land to sell to the guy. So when he paid you the money, you know in the end, when the real owner comes back, because like we mentioned, yeah, Rob, they can't steal land. The land's got to go back to the original owner eventually. So this is just a question of how much time you can buy before the land goes back. So tantamount, you're giving the guy a loan, says Rav Nachman. And therefore, when the guy comes and gets his land back, and the guzzler has to compensate the original seller, he can't give him money as well, because if he gives him money for the shevach, it looks like ribbit. That was Rav Nachman said, remember? And Rav brought a kashya to Rav Nachman and said, what are you talking about? You can't claim back the shevach from karka meshubedet, but you can from karka b'nei chorin, remember? So Rav is saying, you can claim, Rav Nachman is saying, you can't claim. Now the Gemara brings a brighter over here, and says, "Achida peirot ha'gazel b'chareihu yotzei min tachlis lokshu gove gove ta keren u'peirot gove min achasim min achorin." Now, who's the one who should be proving that peirot you can gove min achasim min achorin? It should be Rava, because Rava is being cholek on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said you don't get shevach. Nachman says you do get shevach, just you get the shevach from unencumbered land. Everybody following me? Yes. So already Rav Nachman saying you don't get any shevach, and Rav is saying you do get the shevach. And this brighter proves what? That you do get the shevach. We want to understand what's the case of the brighter's talking about. Obviously not the guy. He sold it and he got the shevach. And we see over here there is shevach, correct? We're just proving there is shevach. Everybody following me? There is shevach. And who says there is shevach? Rava. Okay, so look what the Gemara says. The Gemara now brings the Dechia to that Brighter and says, Amarava. No, this Brighter isn't a good Brighter. Why? Hacha b'may askinan, kegon shegazal simichavero, melea pay. When he stole the field, it was already full of fruit. It was all ripe fruit. V'achara payrot. And this guy who bought the field, in the meantime, consumed the fruit. V'chafar ba'borot shechinimai. And he dug up the whole land and he ruined it. And then by Nigzal Ligvot Keren, the Nigzal comes, by Nigzal Ligvot Keren, Gova Minachasim Meshubadim, by Nigzal Ligvot Peirot, Gova Minachasim B'nei Chorim. When he stole the field, so who's the one claiming the compensation here? Not the Kone, the Nigzal. And but who's the one who tells us that this Gemara is not a good kashya? Rava himself. But Rava's arguing with himself, because Rava's who are bringing the bride to prove that there is shevach to the kone, for the to the buyer. And Rava says, no, that's not a good bride. To that bride is not talking about the buyer. That bride is talking about the original guy who was stolen from him. The land was stolen from him. It was stolen full of fruits, and his compensation getting compensated back from the guzzler. So honestly, it's driving me absolutely crazy. And I was looking at it, nothing on the duff. I found a note here in the Gemara where it says that they say and the stanza says, look here, I don't know what your note on your Dalid. It says, Lechora davar tamua. It seems a bit strange. She tirets Rav et divrei Shmuel. Rabbi's explaining Shmuel. Sharei Rav atzmo hiksha lemalem yamishtu mikitna divrei Shmuel. Rav himself was arguing about Shmuel. And now suddenly Rav is coming to answer him. She said, "Your pirshin aresha shlachin aperu pelokeach." The Gemara says now there are two ways to answer this. Chichlo mashi chazar bo Rava, or Rava changed his mind. Chozer bo. I'll be honest with you, I find it very difficult that Rava changed his mind. That Rava suddenly supporting Shmuel. Rabbi Dvarim Sham. Yeah, I'm reading the article now. It's not what you're reading now. I'm in the Hebrew article here.
Oh, okay.
The one answer is that Rava changed his mind. That's the Maharsha's answer. Right, v'yesh goshin kan rabba bimkom rabba. Now, honestly, I'll show you my Gemara. I wrote in brackets rabba. I took a chance and I wrote rabba. Okay, so I actually for rabba. I got a little difficulty with that as well because rabba came before rabba. Right, and if it's rabba who's arguing, then it means he's actually arguing with rabba as well, and that doesn't sit so well. But anyhow, I don't know. But it's a mamasha, it's a problem. And then you've got to change the whole sugya going forward. You'll see. Because the Gemara and I changed it all the way along. Because you'll see the moment now, every time the Gemara is going to refer back to Rava, it's actually referring back to Rava, which means it doesn't make sense that our Gemaras are so badly edited. That it, you know, in one spot there could be a place where there was a mistake. Everybody following what I just said? It's important to understand what I just said. Our sugya up until now has been Rava, with a kashya on Shmuel. Right? Because Shmuel says that the kone doesn't get compensation for the shevach because it looks like ribbit. And Rabbi says he does get compensation for the shevach, but he doesn't get it from the encumbered land, he only gets it from free land. And we bring a bright tale which proves that it's only from free land he gets it and not from encumbered lands, which supports Rabbi's contention against Rav Nachman. And Rava himself comes to argue with himself. And that's the problem that we've got. Rava says, no, we're not discussing the buyer. We're discussing the gazlan himself. Anyhow, that is the Rabbah, and it's the nizlan himself that's getting compensation. And when he gets compensation, if for the carrying, for the value of the land itself, he can claim from the gazlan, the chasim mishubadim. And when he wants to get compensation for the fruit, he gets a compensation from the gazlans, nechasim b'nei chori. Rabbi bar Rav Huna Amar, and this is another rabba, not our rabba. Rabbi bar Rav Huna Amar, kagon shenatlua mesikin. He says, no, maybe it's a case of the tzikin. Anasim akum, goy strong arm tactic, a robber, goy shabul bullies, right? Natlua mina gazlan. There was a gazlan. And there were goyim who were even stronger than the gazlan, and they took it from the gazlan, umachmato, and it's because of the gazlan, right? That's what I mean, these goyim gazlanim, right? They took the field from a Jewish gazlan. Okay, I suppose what goes around comes around, right? And by nigzal ligvot keren, and now the nigzal himself. Right? Shatlo misiklin by nigzal ligvot. So now the original owner. The original owner comes carrying govim in the chasim and shubadim, but it's the word payrot govim in the chasim and echorin. Okay, so that's another possibility. It's not the actual, it's not the nigzal from the gazlan, but now there's another gazlan in the picture. Now when it says here Rava lo amar krava baravuna, we have to say Rabba lo amar krava baravuna. It was, why did Rabba say that it's the nigzal and the gazlan themselves, and Rava baravuna says it's a third party in the process. One that just agree with each other. So Gemara says, why not? Why didn't Rabba, who said it was the gazlan and the nigzal, say like Rabbi Rav Huna said, was a third party gazlan involved? Right? He yotza mitachat yado bedina mashma, because he says over here that when we say that yotza mitachat yado, that he took the land back, it sounds like bedina he took it back. What is bedina? Hilchach behotzaot nigzal kamar begoved akerin bekamar keshechafar beword. It sounds like he took the land back. Legally. See there, Robert, it was the nigzal taking back from the gazlan. It's his land. What do you want from me? Rabbi Loa Mark said that's why Rabba didn't like the idea of another gazlan being in the picture here. Because then if the gazlan's claiming from the nigzal's claiming from the ones, that not be from din, because the ones took it from the gazlan and he never got in the yatzav mitachat yado. Doesn't sound like it was bedin. Rabbi Bar Huna lo amar karav ba. Why not? Harei he yotzav mitachat yado beina mashma. Beina mashma. Over here, Rashi says kamo shayeta velo shechavurot. As it was, didn't actually do any damage. So the only way that Rabba can explain that he needs compensation for the land is, why is he claiming a keren? He got the field back, right? Because if the Nigzal gets the land back from the Gazlan, then what is, why does the Gazlan have to pay him for the land itself, for the value of the land? He got the land back. We understand why he got compensated for the fruits, because he used to consume the fruits, but why the land back? So Rabba said, because he dug up the land and messed it all up. So on the value of the land that's being messed up, he kept to compensate him. Where Ravuna says, no, he doesn't like the idea, it was just messed up. It's Be'ena Mashma, and therefore, suppose the Gazlan over here, be honest with you now, I'm a bit confused myself. Who, don't know, not sure. Okay, Rav Ashi Aviyak is the third. Rav Ashi says, no, it could be Litzdadin Ketani. What does it mean, Litzdadin Ketani? Different possibilities, different ways. The one possibility, you stole the field full of fruit. You consumed the fruit. And you sold it to somebody else. And now the buyer, so now you stole it full of fruit. And you sold the field. Right? Before you sold it, you consumed the fruit. And then you sold it to somebody else. And then it was taken back to by the Nigzal took it back. The Lokeach, the buyer who needs the keren, the Nigzal wants his fruit. He can be nowhere nechasim lechorin from the Gazlan. So it could be two different people claiming from the Gazlan. That's what Rav Ashi says. He said, it might not be a stira. We've got two scenarios over here. You're right. Shmuel says that there's no compensation for the Nigzal for the fruit. But that's if you stole the field without fruit and you made fruit afterwards. But yeah, you start a field with fruit, so you're entitled to compensation. And the guy who bought the field from the Gazlan, he didn't buy it with the fruit because the Gazlan already consumed the fruit. So the Nigzal now has a claim against two people. He gets his land back, so he doesn't worry about the land. So it's only the buyer who wants money for the land that he gets from the Gazlan from the Shubadim. And the original land owner, the Nigzal, wants his fruit compensated for that he had on the fruit when the fruit was stolen. And he can get that back from the Gazlan from land which isn't Meshubad. Now the Gemara says like this, Bain le Rabba, again, you're going to change Rabba here to Rabba again. Bain le Rabba, Bain le Rabba Rav Huna, Mal ve'al peh, at the end of the day, however you look at it, Mal ve'al peh, so it's a mil ve'al peh. At the most that you've got in terms of this deal over here is a loan, because it was never your land to already own. So when you gave the guy, the Gazlan, the money, whoever you gave the money to when you bought the field, so it was just a loan. It wasn't yours. How can you have any claim against any parts of this land over here from the Chasim Meshubadi? That's a good question. At the end of the day, if we're saying, bottom line, we come down to Tachlis, there wasn't really a proper deal over here. So this was all, at the best, a Mal Ve'alpeh, a loan, a verbal loan. So how can anybody say you can claim over here from Karka Meshubadi? Look what he says over here. The Gemara gives unbelievable answer. He says, no. Why is it not like a mal ve'alpeh, mil ve'alpeh? Because there actually was a din. Look at Rashi. The Gazlan was actually, the Nigzal took him to court. And now everyone knows that this thing was stolen goods. Right, the sale now is actually like there was a star. I'm not sure 100% why, to be honest. The Gemara says, I don't understand, but if that's the case, Yachi Perot Nami. Right, but then how come the Perot, we said, only from Karka Lot Meshabedet? If the whole deal was all about Itakala, this voice, everyone knows about this whole transaction now. I'm saying it's no longer Mil Ve'al Peh, but there's a notified, everybody's aware of the situation, therefore the sale's a proper sale, not just a proper sale, but it's got a status of a sale, but a meal of it, and how come you can't claim the fruits from Karka Meshubedet? At the time, there was only din, the court spoke about the value of the land, not the value of the fruits, and so therefore the fruits were never part of the deal, therefore the fruits remain in the realm of Mil Ve'al Peh. There was that Umay Pascha? Where's that? Is that a Bamash? Look at Rashi. It says, yeah, my Pascha, bitmiya question mark. What, Pascha tana milte daomet bedin elo medel aper? Is that what the Takan is telling us? Hello there. That when you go to din, the din is only about land. There's no one discusses the payroll. The Gemara says, "Stame de milta kitab inish karna taba bereisha." Says, you know what? As a rule, when people go to court, all they're really worrying about is their fields. They aren't really too much worried about the rest of the stuff. They just want to try and get their money back. So the courts only discuss the land and never discuss anything else. Now the Gemara asks a kashi on Shmuel. Now back to Shmuel again, right? V'sava Shmuel lokeach migazlan leite shivcha. Is that a fate? Now we go back to our original question on Shmuel. Okay, so we've gone round in circles here. Lots of writers back and forth. And we said that bottom line is Shmuel says you don't get shevach on the land, you only get the value of the land. We had a question over here about what did Rabbi say. We said, no, was it gazlan to the nigzal or was it another gazlan, etc. But bottom line, according to Shmuel, if a gazlan sold the land to somebody else and then the nigzal claims it back, and in the meantime the buyer had improved the land, he wouldn't get shevach. The work says, is that a fact? V'sava Shmuel lokeach mi gazlan leiteh shevach v'amale Shmuel Rav Chilina Bar Shilat. Didn't Shmuel himself say to Rav Chilina Bar Shilat, Rashi says Rav Chilina Bar Shilat is a sofer, and he would write all these contracts. Right? And the advice that Shmuel gives Rav Chilina Bar Shilat is like this: Imlich. He says, Rashi says, Kishtakotev Shtar. Right? When you get to write a document, Himalech b'mocher, firstly consult with, we saw this yesterday as well, by the way. He says, consult with the seller. Imekaber alav la gavot lokeach mishef nechasav kana v'shivcha v'peri. Make check with him if you're going to write into the shtar that if this land for whatever reason is challenged and he loses it, because maybe the guy owed money to somebody, does he give him cover for all the improvements? Right? He says uchtov shufra shivcha upiri, and he writes it and write into the shtar shufra shivcha upiri, including the perot and the shevach and everything. So the question carries on. But my, what are we speaking about here? If a balchov meet lay piri, if it's a, can't be referring to a balchov. Remember, the simple answer would be like we tried to say yesterday. No, the difference between a guy lends money. Remember, a question yesterday about whether we say that if there's no achrayut in the shtar, that it's a taut sofer, that it's a mistake. Remember, that's how we explained Rabbanan. Rabbanan say that a taut, there's always achrayut in the shtar, because if a guy writes a shtar without achrayut, who's going to throw their money away? And we said, no, it makes a difference between if it's a loan document, and if it's a loan, a guy's not going to give a loan without knowing he's got some sort of guarantees on everything. If it's a sale, it might be a little bit different. So he says, yeah, don't give me the answer over here that there's a difference between a loan and a sale. Because obviously, it must be talking about a sale, because if it's a loan, then when you lend a guy money on land, what fruits are you talking about and improvements are you talking about? The guy lends you money, you give him a mortgage on your property, you're not eyeing fruits. He's not working your property, right? You got your property. You can just claim your property. The fruits aren't relevant over here, right? Meet that period. And he's like, "What's the Amar Shmuel? Balchov gove et hashevach, shevach in avar perot lo. Elalav belokeach migazlan." So he says, "So we call." It says, "Amar Shmuel." And another question over here. He says over here. Shufa shiva ma'iba balchov meet that period. And Shmuel also said, Baal Chov goved ha-shevach, that the Baal Chov claimed the shevach, shevach in the parrot law, ele lav berokeach mi gazlan. We must be speaking about a gazlan over here. So Gemara says, Shmuel okeach mi gazlan, let the shevach, and Shmuel rav chinina ba-shilu, ve-ketuv shufa shivu ba-yitzgadim. And yet we see that Shmuel gave the guy the instructions, and the Kobe is speaking about a loan agreement, and yet we see over here, which we saw yesterday, Shmuel, Baal Chov, Govei Hashevach, Shevach, Inav Aperet Lo, Ele Lav Belokeach Begazlan. And we're speaking about from Lokeach to Gazlan. And therefore, and Shmuel said, write into this contract. So there's a bit of a stir over here in Shmuel. So Rabbi Yosef Achman is going to talk about Kegon Sheyesh Lo Karka. So he says, now when the Gazlan's got Karka, look at Rashi, Kegon Sheyesh Lo Karka, the Gazlan's it. She migveu le lokeach karka velo ma'ot. Da'ash de lo michzei kiribit. So now there it wouldn't be a problem. Why would it be a problem over there? Because if the gazlan himself owns land, so when he sells you the land, even though it's not his land, and you then give the money back afterwards, it doesn't look like a loan, because I suppose he had other lands. So maybe if he had other lands, right, then no one knows really which lands he's selling you, which lands isn't. Maybe giving back the money, it might not look like ribbit. Anybody got a better answer than that? I'm not sure. Rashi goes, yes, look, calculate gazlan, done. So Amalei Abaya, So now Abaye asked the kasha. So we've got a bit of a difficulty on Shmuel over here, right? So the answer the Gemara gave was no, when the Gazlan himself got land, and therefore you can pay him back, you can claim compensation on the Gazlan, because when he gives you back the money for the carry and he gives you back the money for the Shevach, it doesn't look like ribbit because he's a landowner himself. But it's Abaye on that's got a kasha. So I'm going to Abaye, the Chimutal, Yilvot, Se'abe, Se'abe, Makom, Shesh, Lo Karka. He said, just because a guy's got land, they enable him to borrow from you a sayah of flour and then say he'll pay you back a sayah of flour. Now, why is it paying you back a sayah? If I borrow a sayah, it's like comes and say, let me 10 kilos of flour, I'll pay you back 10 kilos of flour. That in itself could be ribbit because if the price of flour went up, when I borrowed from you flour, let's say it cost a shekel a kilo, and I borrowed 10 shekels from you, 10 kilos, I borrowed 10 shekels. When I come to pay you back, a kilo of flour now costs 1 shekel 20. So now my 10 kilos is going to cost 12 shekels, as if I gave you a ribbit. Really, what you should do is you say, how much is the flour that I'm borrowing you? A packet of flour that costs 10 shekels, and you come back, you pay the guy back 10 shekels. So that's just because he owns land to the buyer. You can say, no, I can give you back a say. In other words, why can you do things that look like ribbit just because the guy owns land? So Amale says, no, ha-tam halva. Hachasvini, it's not because at the end of the day, the underlying circumstances are completely different. What you're speaking about over here, Abaye, is a loan. And therefore, Bahalvaya says Rashi, right? Shayach ribit tvei mecher, right? Because their ribit is properly applied. So when you lend a guy flour and he borrows flour from you, he pays you back the flour, it looks like ribit. Yeah, the guy bought a field from you. Ah, we're saying that Lemafreya, when we look back at the situation, it wasn't really a field that it was his that he could sell. And therefore, if he pays you back for the shevach, it looks like he's paying you ribit. But if he was a landowner and he's trading in land, so it might not be the same thing. That's version number one. You could have another version of the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yosef. What does it mean, shekano miyado? Shekano miyado means that he did a star kinyan, a maaseh kinyan. Look at Rashi. Shekano miyado ala shevach. Tavalei mechuyav mishal hamecher kodem sheyesh schar hamtanat ma'ot. When he sold the field to you, the gazlan, so there was some sort of maaseh kinyan that was done even on the shevach. In other words, he undertook to pay for the shevach if something would happen. So I'm going to Abaye, v'chimutal yilvot se'ah b'se'ah b'makom shekano miyado. So what, just because a guy borrows a flower from you, and he does a maaseh kinyan, he says, yeah, lift up the scarf, if the flower should go up, whatever the case, you can pay back the flower, etc. That allows you all the way to just come along and pay ribbit. So now again, it'll be different. So the Gemara seems to stick to its grounds, that where it looks like a sale, and it smells like a sale, and it's tastes of a sale, so even though at the end of the day it's not a sale, we can treat it as a sale and not worry about the ribbit aspect. At the end of the day, it's not really ribbit, right? It's just mechzeik ribbit. Even the Gemara said that. No one's arguing for a second this is ribbit doraita. It's just like it's got a reyach of ribbit. It's not even afkat ribbit, I don't even think. It's just mechzeik ribbit. It looks like ribbit, and therefore we want to be machmir, so we wouldn't be machmir over here. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses Shmuel in detail. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said like a gufa. Amar Shmuel, Baal Chov gove et ha-shevach. So now Shmuel says a Baal Chov gove et ha-shevach. Right? A Baal Chov. A creditor, says Shmuel. If he comes to claim the field, he claims, takes the whole field. So Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says like this, Teida. It's actually amazing because this is Rava again now, but I think this is Rava, not Rabba. You know, there's a story we discussed before, I think, I don't know who it was. One of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, I think it was somebody of Shklo, but I can't remember what his name was. Maybe someone remembers his name. The Vilna Gaon, I mentioned it here before. Rabbi Baruch mentioned it. It's a well-known story. The Vilna Gaon was of the opinion that all these Talmidim to know one Masechta, at least off by heart. Because he said, if you ever stuck somewhere, you haven't got to go in front of you, you don't need Bittel Zman and Bimavatel Torah, you've got to be able to learn. So at least if you go one Masechta, you know by heart, you can study that Masechta, and you know it with you, wherever you go, you always got a Masechta in your mind. So I think it was, he told him that he had learned, I think it was, I'm not sure what it was, he told the Vilna Gaon that he had learned all Masechta off by heart. So the Vilna Gaon said, okay, how many times is Rav and Abaye mentioned in the Gemara? So he said, what, off by heart? I can tell you the Gemara off by heart. Because you don't know how many times Rabbi and Abaye mentioned the Gemara. If you don't know that, you haven't learned the Gemara. You know what I mean? The Vilna got learned the Gemara. He knew how many times the word Harei was mentioned in the Shas, in the Masechta. How many times Rabbi Abai mentioned? You know, so yeah, it'll be a bit confusing, right? Is this Rabba or is it Rava? If the Vilna Gaon was checking you out now, would you say how many times would Rava be mentioned? Would it be Rava, or would you say no? Those aren't Ravas. That's Rabba. I don't know how to deal with that one. Anyhow, so was Amar Rava Teida. Rashi says, "What do you mean Teida? The Gove." Velo matzi lokeach lemeimar ana ishbechi. He says, bear in mind, says that the creditor will take the whole field, right? Baal chov, the creditor will take the whole field, and it doesn't interest him now that the buyer who bought the field, not necessarily a gazla now, will rant and rave. What do you want? But what about my improvements that I made? Shekach kotev lo mocher lokeach. He says it seems that when in the star, when you write the sales star, you're right. Ana ikum va'ashvei va'adkei va'amrik zvina ilin inun va'amrin va'ashpechon v'ikum kadamach v'tzavi zavne denam v'kabil lavai. Rashi explains some of the words of Yeah, but bottom line of Yeah is the end of the day, all compensation must be claimed from the seller. The credit is not part of the deal. He takes the field. You got a problem? Go fight with your seller. So I'm Rav Chia bar Abi Nirava. That's what Rava says. Elam yata. Matana, the locative by Le Hachi, Hachi Nami, the Lotir of Shibcha. So, do you give a guy a gift and someone takes that gift away? Right? You're a very generous guy and you gave somebody else's field to a friend. Right? And now someone takes a gift, same thing. So he says, Amarayin, yes. He says, if that's the case, it seems like that the strength of a gift, look at Rashi, beat me out. It's a question of Chiyafi. So we're telling you that the Matana is even stronger than the girl. In, he says, Yafe ve Yafe. Look at just yet. Bedavar zeh, the kevan de lo ara gabi lay lo mafsid lay bemidi. Lo ifsid ele bal chov. To be shlom a gufa shel karka amalei. Amai, me'ayin ik vechovi aval shibcha amalei mai afsadatich. He says, at the end of the day, it seems to be a stronger situation. Why? Because even when you give a guy a gift, so he didn't pay anything for it. So what's he going to come and claim to you? Well, what about my money? I lost my money. So big deal, he lost a bit of a shevach, but he got the field for free anyhow. So now Amar Rav Nachman. Now listen to the grace. The grace like Amar Rav Nachman. Hi Matnita Messiah Lev Mashul. We've got a bright that supports Shmuel. Now what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said, Baal Chov govet Hashevach. Right? The Baal Chov takes everything. She says, Vahuna Chavrin Mokim Labi Mila Achrinim. But Shmuel, our friend, says, this bright is discussing something else. So let's see first, how does the Gemara prove that this bright supports Shmuel? The Tanya, you sell the field to your friend. Now he loses it because the original the creditor comes and takes it. Kashi gova govet akeri minachasi meshubari v'shevach gov minachasi b'nechori. So he, because at the end of the day, when he comes to get compensation from you because you sold the field to him, so the keren is only gova from the nechasi meshubari and the shevach he gets from the nechasi b'nechori. So we see over here that Baal Chov Goved HaShevach. Okay, that was good looking Rashi. Mesale the Baal Shmuel, the Baal Chov Goved HaShevach. Because we see over here that he's Goved HaShevach. How do you know Goved HaShevach? Because the guy who bought it has a taina against the guy who sold it to him for the keren from Karka Meshubedet and for the Shevach from Karka that's not Meshubedet. So why is the buyer who lost his field now got a taina against the seller for Shevach? Because the Baal Chov took the field with the Shevach, correct? So because he lost everything, so that's helped Shmuel, where Shmuel said that the Baal Chov, the creditor, takes the field and the Shevach. The proof in the Brayta, according to Yehoshua of Nachman, is that this is proof because Shmuel would agree that when the buyer now comes to claim from the seller, his compensation, he claims compensation for the land price and for his Shevach. So why is he claiming compensation for the Shevach? Because the Shevach, he lost as well to the creditor. Okay? Everybody with me? That made me happy? Yes? Okay, so he says, Govei l'mezrati, b'shubadim, b'shevach, b'nechorin, b'nechorin. V'hunach says, no, this part is discussing at all. Huna says, mokilo, b'midi, achrin, something else, b'lokeach, migazlan. When he's coming to claim from a gazlan. Look at Rashi says, "Bokach migazlan the nigzal v'ada tayv shivcha." The nigzal, the guy it was stolen from, he goes back to the guy who it was sold to, and he claims everything. Tamalei arai shpechti. What do you want from me? He says, "Arai my land, you improved." About Baal Chov, kol kavod lo tarfela lav didehu ubishutet de lokach ishpach. says, but a Baal Chov, Huna will say, and Huna will say no. Huna will say that the original credit, that the creditor can't claim the Shevach. The Shevach was improved on the buyer's land. Okay, so that was one brighter there, Rav Nachman says. And another brighter, study, another brighter, Amoche said, Le Chaveiro, if you sold the field to his friend, to your friend Vishbich, and he improved it, Uba Baal Chov Tarfa, and now your creditor arrives and says, I want that field that was mortgaged to me and takes it back. Keshu Gove. Now, Bright is a little bit different. Bright says, Keshu Gove, when the buyer comes back to the seller who had just lost his field to a creditor, right? He says, if the improvement, say he spent 100 shekels or 100,000 shekels farming the field, and now the crop is worth 200,000 shekels. So actually, he's losing now 200,000 shekels when this creditor slips his field off. So the shevach is more than the cost. The cost are only 100, but the actual improvements are today worth 200. No teller shevach mi bala karka. So the landowner, right, the original landowner who bought it from, has to pay him the shevach, the other words, the profit, the 100. Vayitzia mi bala chov, and the creditor has to compensate him for the first 100 that actually was out of pocket money. Because at the end of the day, right, the creditor got the whole field with the improvements. But the creditor is not expected to pay for the profits, only for the actual out-of-pocket money. But the landowner who bought it, it's still got a taina against the guy who sold it to him, he lost his profits as well. On the other hand, he spent 200,000 shekels, but it was a bad crop. All he could claim is 100,000 shekels, or he built a building and he overcapitalized, and it's really worth only 100 and paid 200. Ein lo ela hotza'a shiu shevach mibachov. Now the creditor will only pay what the real worth of it is. So the creditor got a field with a building that's worth 100, even though it cost the guy 200, and he's got no tainas against the seller whatsoever. The seller's not responsible for his losses. The Gemara says, "V'ha Shmuel b'may mokimla." What does Shmuel say? Now, how does Shmuel refer to this brighter? Ibe lokeach migazlan. Like, remember, we said in the first brighter, we said that Rav Nachman said that the brighter discussing the same story as here, where there was a seller and a creditor and a buyer, where Rav Huna said that it was talking about a gazlan. So if Shmuel says that we're talking about a gazlan, so kashya reisha d'ama Shmuel lokeach migazlan leit le'shivcha. Shmuel's already told us, if you buy from a gazlan, there's no shevach. And both these brides are speaking about giving shevach back to a guy who bought. In the Baal Chov, and then if you're buying it, if it's a creditor who took the money, you came from a creditor, so kashya reisha v'seifa. So both the reisha and the seifa are a problem. Why? The Amar Shmuel, Baal Chov goved ha-shevach. Shmuel said that the Baal Chov goved ha-shevach. Here we see that the Baal Chov takes the shevach, but he's got to actually compensate the buyer. In the first bride, it would be for if the profits, and in the second part, it would be for only the value of the shevach. Ready with me? But we see that the creditor does pay. Where according to Shmuel, we said Shmuel says no. The creditor takes the field of the shevach, and the buyer at best he's got a taina against the seller for the value of the keren from meshubadim and the shevach from meshubadim. This brighter seems to imply that the creditor has got a part to play in compensating the buyer as well. Everybody following me? Hey, Sal, you're not following? Let's go over one more time quickly. I just saw two brighters. Shmuel says, firstly, what did Shmuel say? Look at the very beginning, where the two dots there we had. Right? You see the Tosfot there, Teda? Go up like 5-6 lines. We had there, Gufa, Amar Shmuel, Baal Chov, Gover HaShevach. Shmuel says, the Baal Chov, I sold land to somebody. Not me. Someone sold land to somebody, and he had a creditor. And that creditor goes knocking on the buyer's door and says, listen, mister, you bought this property on the 13th of March, yesterday. I had a pre-existing loan with this guy from February last year. And that land was mortgaged to me. He owes you the basis and paid, so therefore you only bought it yesterday. Or not yesterday, because it wasn't time to improve anything. But actually, 3 months ago, I'm taking the land back. Go sort it out with the guy who sold it from you. Says Shmuel, what? That whatever improvements made in the land, the Baal Chov takes. And the buyer now, his tainas are all against his seller. Go sort it out. We've just seen two brighters that say, forget robbers, we're not discussing robbers over here. Huna said it was a robber. We're not discussing robbers. Rab Nachman said, right, Amar Rachman, hi, Mati the Messiah, the Shmuel, for Huna Charbin Moklo Milachrini. Huna says to talk about a gazlan. Rav Nachman is talking about a buyer and a seller. Right? So there's a buyer and a seller and a creditor. Shmuel, we questioned Shmuel, we said buyer, seller, creditor. The creditor takes the field with all the improvements, and the buyer has to go to the seller, and all his claims are against the seller. The creditor isn't in the picture. These two brighters say, no, the creditor is in the picture. Just to make a distinction. The one brighter says, if there's profit and he only pays from the profit, he only has to compensate for the profits and actual cost themselves, he goes to the seller. The other brighter says, well, that was the first person that was, the first brighter said, and when he's gover the keren from the chasim shubarim, the shevach, etc., that seems to be perfect. The second writer said, no, it would depend if the improvements were more than the value of the costs or less than the value of than the costs. And now the Gemara says a steer over here, because he says now v'hashmuel b'may mokim la even lokeach mi gazlan, if it's from a gazlan, so kashir reishit amashmuel lokeach mi gazlan late leshivcha. Shmuel said that the gazlan never pays. Right? If you bought from a gazlan, there's never concept for the shevach. From a baal chov, so I nothing here makes sense at all, because yeah, we are getting compensation. And if it's a baal chov, so kashrei fon sefer, because Shmuel said the baal chov gets the shevach. And now these brothers have been talking about the shevach being compensated for partly from the baal chov and part from the creditor. Right, so Gemara says, "Amashva ba'achov goved hasheva." So Gemara says, "Ibad aimer belokeach migazlan." Gemara says, "The one part could be lokeach migazlan." Going to yesh lo krak, but the gazlan himself owns land, and therefore that's why there would be concept of the shevach as well. But we said before that the whole question about if you bought from a gazlan and he has got land, so paying him back for the shevach might not look like ribbit. Remember that was what we explained early on. That could be one answer. Inami b'shekanu miyad. Another case where we did a maase, we did a maase kinyan. We gave two answers over here previously. Could maase kinyan. And ibadayim of a baal chov. And another possibility could be with a baal chov velo, and it still won't be a kasha. Why not? Kan b'shevach hamagiel k'tefayim. Kama shevach hamagiel k'tefayim. Would depend if the crops were already, Rashi says, karov likatzer, almost ready to being harvested. And the shadayim shechelim, but they were still on the land. Have a look at parot gemu. They were considered roughly raw products. V'ein baal chov gover to below yetzia. Now the baal chov who comes to claim the field back, he himself hasn't got a right to claim the fully ripened stuff, because that's already considered like movables. We discussed this yesterday as well. And there he can only take it if he wants to pay for it. But the parent, he wouldn't be able to take it. So those are three ways which we could explain. Because the guy said, what are you talking about? I understand. But this isn't a Shmuel was a dayan. And every day this was happening, guys were buying it, the way it sounds again, right? Every day it was happening, guys were buying and selling land with creditors coming and taking the money away and repossessing fields, etc. What? We don't know that Shmuel made a distinction between ready ripe crops that were still in the field to ready ripe, to unready ripened crops. In other words, Shmuel gave the guy away the field. He said, Lo kashi'ad masik ba kashur ara b'shivcha, had lo masik ba kashur ara. The live yeshivche umesaliklay. He says, no, it would depend if the value the creditor was owed was the land and the improvements, or if the value was only the land and not the improvements. If it was the land with the value of the improvements as well, the creditor, the debtor owed him, he'd take the whole field, then the land owner to compensate his buyer. And if it wasn't that case, then he wouldn't give him the land, and then the compensation. Look in the Gemara. Had the masik ba kishur ar bashak. The whole deal, the loan was for the value of the land and the improvement. Look, Rashi, right? Lo matzis shap. Hold on, where's the Rashi? The Rashi over here. Ha! Look at the Rashi. The Rashi. Ha! Diktani notel yetsia mi baal chov. Right? That you took the money from the creditor. Was the law masik by baal chov b'mocheshur arev v'shivcha? Hirach yai baal chov lokeach shivcha. So if the creditor wasn't owed for the value of the land and the improvements, only the value of the land, he'd have to pay the buyer the value of the improvements. U'masalik, then it gets him off his field. V'al rakad demilta b'lashon yetzir v'lo talen notel k'neged achov mi'bal ha'karka amotar mi'bal chov l'ashminan hi gufa ata t'ha'echad yetzir yetayor la'shevach ain li'ele yetzir shiur shevach. So it would depend. In other words, who would pay who? if the value of the debt was the whole land and appreciation, it would be the seller's responsibility to pay for the difference. If the value wasn't, it would be the buyer, the creditor's responsibility, because he's getting more than he would be entitled to. The Gemara says, "Hanich lemanda amar itlei zuzel elokeach lo matzi masalik le lebal chov shapin." So we got a machloket now. The Gemara is going to be talking about Bava Kama, that even if you're going to now be chucked off the land by the creditor, so why can't you say to the creditor, "Listen, let me pay you, and I'll go and fight with the seller. I don't want to get chucked off the land. I want the land." So some people say, "No, you can't do that." So we understand over here now why he'd have to remove the buyer from the land and pay him for the improvement. If the buyer's got money and he wants to pay for the land and stay on the land, at least on a part of the land, matzi maslik le balchov, and he's able to compensate the balchov and get him off his back. Namely, why doesn't the buyer say to the balchov, if I had money for the whole field, I would have bought the whole land from you and gone and fought with the seller. But I say, I haven't got enough for all of it. But nonetheless, Zuze Avli, Garbet Arba, I've got enough land to buy from you a bit of the field. Let me stay with a bit of the field. Right? But Arashir Shivch, at least with the field that's worth the part that I improved, or the value of my improvements, that you're going to have to pay me anyhow. Because remember, if the debt wasn't for the value of the land, and if the debt was only for the value of the land, let's say, so can't the land owner, the new buyer, say to the creditor, "Listen, you owe me, I understand that your debt is $1 million. The field at the moment is worth 800 and there's 200 which are my improvements. Give me 20% of the field and let me stay. And you take 80% of the field. This way you get your 80% and I get my improvements at least. I'll go fight with the seller for the 800 that I paid him." Hakaba said, "Why don't we say that?" And it says, and apotiki, we saw when you like dedicate land where the seller had given a mortgage over the credit, saying you can only claim your money from this. In other words, if you don't claim from this, you're not getting any money back. The guy's not taking any chances. He wants the field, chucks him off, and he pays him the value of the improvement. Now, a new scenario. You bought stolen goods and you knew they were stolen. You know this field didn't belong to the guy selling it to you. And nonetheless, v'lakha. Now here would be a good place to say, like we said yesterday, that maybe he got a good deal, right? And therefore he bought it cheap. And it's your problem, right? You're buying a farm that's worth $1 million for $100,000. You've got to ask, isn't something fishy over here? Right? And the fact that you took the risk, it shouldn't be anybody's problem. But now he kiri, right? Shelo shelo. Rav says, the best you got here is you can get your money back. If the nigzal comes and takes the field back, you can get your money from the gazlan. The best you got is a tal. You might never get it, but luckily you can claim it. And Shmuel says, so this is the chor.
The chor is the buyer.
But I understand. But why do we care about who the ganef was? The bottom line is who. Even if you, but that could be the. But you know what? That could be the machloket. Shmuel saying you don't even get the money back. Why? Because you're the ganef, maybe. You could wear your. I say, well, that could be according to Shmuel, right? Agreed. Okay, nice. So that could be a good svara for Shmuel. There. That Shmuel says, why? Because you became the ganef. If it wasn't a buyer, there wouldn't be a ganef, right? So you're the ganef. Okay. So go ahead, Mike. The Gemara doesn't answer your question though. Would it be nice if it said the Mike, what's the machloket? And the one says, lo achbar ganef, but achor ganef. The one says, no, achbar is still the ganef. It would have been nice. Okay, make a note on the side of your Gemara there, but it doesn't say that. Okay, nonetheless. Oh, I'm getting late. Right? She says, Makir, the Rav Sabar, Adam Yodea Shekar Kaenlo, the Gavatana Shum Pikadon. Rav said, nah, he knows what it is, and he knew he's going to get it. Ultimately, he's not going to get it back. Just gave him a deposit. Look off his money in the meantime. He said, well, the name of the Shum Pikadon, they say, I'm giving you for a Pikadon. She says, no, the guy wouldn't take it. Suppose, like, you know the story where the guy wants to go overseas, and he comes to the bank, and he says, yeah, here's my Rolls Royce. I want to borrow money, and then I give him my Rolls Royce as a guarantee, and he parks it, and save the parking money, right? So yeah, he's got some money. He's got nowhere to put it. So he said, the guy, I'll buy your field from you. You know it's going to be just a short term. The guy's going to take it back. He never looked after his money. He'll get it back. Okay, Shmuel saw Adam Yodei Shekarke, and Shmuel said, "Ain't love a gamin atan l'shumatna." He gave him the gift. He wrote it off. So he said, "Well, if a name had a shumatna, say it to him." No, ksif elam yotei. Thought he'd be embarrassed. So he wants to have a pig about chazdin. Rabbi Shmuel had exactly the same machloket once before Masechet Gittin, and he kiddushin. Did Mar Makash Achoto? God, remember this girl from Gittin? A guy marries his sister. Rabbi Amar Maot Choshin Shmuel Amar Maot Matana. Rabbi says you get the money back because you can't marry your sister. And Shmuel says, "No, you don't get the money back. Everything's a gift." Rabbi Amar Choshin, Rabbi Shem Kirushin Tov Tim Achoto. Everyone says you can't marry your sister. The gamin the gamin is a bekarun. And if a name it's there, the Gemara said, "Well, if he just gave it look after, then it should be good. I'm giving you money to keep. Why didn't he say that? No, some of that lo mekaru with you, she wouldn't take it." Shmuel Amar Maot Matana is a gift. Adam Yodei Shem Kirushin Tov Tim Achoto. The gamin done Matana. The Gemara said, "Well, the name is Shem Matana. Why didn't he say Matana?" So the Ksif Elam Yotei would be embarrassed. So he wants to, why do we the same machloket twice in two different Gemaras? Why didn't get in and one year by Batzia? He wants to say, we need them both. Why? Did my Bible just been on this one? Hakam Rav to love the insured that Yahweh Matot Lenochra. Aval Gabachoto, we need it. Because if we just had the case of Yahweh, Rav would maybe said, no, you don't just leave your money stum with a stranger. But with Gabachoto, Rabbi Gabachoto, I'm a Molelai Leshmuel. You don't give gifts to go to strangers. So why would you give a stranger here your land, maybe in Kitty with your sister? You might even agree with Shmuel that when you gave your money to your sister at a wedding as a matar, you don't want it back. You remember back, and we were just talking about there in Gittin, back on Shmuel, there we say Shmuel said it was a matana. Why? Because it was your sister. But here, you don't give money to assist strangers. And remember, you might even agree with Ra that the sale was like a picadon, therefore tricha. Okay, we end of our beer.